So this morning I am giving a talk at Med Cafe. This is a nice sit down and chat about nutrition. So sit down, grab yourself a coffee and enjoy this talk. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can you guys hear me all right if I sit here? I'm gonna sit down, even though it's not that healthy to sit down, but it's easier today. Can you hear me okay? Yep. If you can't, you can slide your chair in. If you're good, it's good. Does anyone here not want to be in a photograph? Not. You're all okay? Yep. It's all good? Okay, cool. My name's John Dean. Has anyone been to one of my med chats or any of my other talks before? Yes? The last one. Okay, cool. So the last one we talked was an introduction about mainly the brain and the gut, so how they work together, right? Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. And that talk was trying to get across to people that over a long period of time, and I'm talking hundreds of thousands of years, our brains have evolved to be very good at seeking out lots and lots of different nutrients. All right, this is why we crave and we get excited, especially by fast food. All right, and they know that. That's why things are very bright colors. Hi, come and sit down. Seats here. This is why if I want to sell you products, I've got to make them, first of all, look good. Look nice, so your radar will pick up on it, okay? Most of the foods you get excited about, you've tasted before. That memory's locked in. And you'll see this with children. The first time they eat chocolate, they look at it, they're not sure, they eat it. The second time, they'll eat it quicker. The third time, you just show them a picture of chocolate, they'll start to saliva. And then it becomes where you mention the word chocolate, they build the picture in their brain. Now the process of digesting already starts. So we get very good at locking down this information. Okay, we get very good at this in lots of different areas, not just in nutrition. So if you think about it, we've evolved very well to seek out a variety of food because that helped us survive. The more variety, the more nutrients, the better we lived. And also, not to eat too much of the same thing, all right? Because if we ate too much of the same thing, we have a chance of building up poisons in our body. We have a chance of overeating something that isn't good for us, and therefore we can get sick. A while ago, that would result in either something very bad, a bad illness, or even death. So we became really good at eating lots of variety and not too much. We get bored. That's your brain. That's not you guys. The issue I have with a lot of nutritionists is we try and talk a lot about mindfulness, about being mindful about what we eat. Okay, it's very difficult to be mindful when your software itself is seeking out as much food as possible. All right, this is natural in you. This is like breathing. All right, yes, we can help our breathing by being more mindful, but it's automatic, it's happening right now. And so is the way you seek out food. So anyone in 2017, 18, that is overeating or eating the wrong foods, your brain is working really well. That just shows you your brain's working well, okay? The hard bit comes when we're trying to deal with this and manage it. So, what I'm trying to get across to people today is we can no longer just take a back seat and just ride through this. You have to work at it. The same way as people's mentality is different when it comes to shaping the body. They understand that they've got to go to a gym or a trainer or play sport, and they've got to work hard to create a new shape in the body. When it comes to food, it's a little more difficult. We tend to have these ups and downs. We kind of flow in and out, okay? Going to university, most of you probably studied at some point, and you probably were told, if you want a degree in biology, I'm not gonna give you it on day one or day 10. There's a period of time it takes you to get there, and you have to achieve all these different modules and exams and study, and at the end of the 3 years, 4 years, you can have it. That's kind of like health. You know, you should be thinking about it more like a marathon than a sprint. And too many people see it as a sprint. And that's mainly because of the market at the moment. So the food industry, the fitness industry, the nutrition industry, a lot of it is guided by supplements and quick, fast food, right? So we have to be aware of this. If you're here today, you probably understand that. So I don't need to go into that. One of the main reasons I wanted you here today is to get you guys to start asking me some questions or giving me some ideas about what you're seeking at the moment. What are you trying to understand? Because sometimes I'm working with people in the middle of nowhere in Saudi that they have no concept of anything when it comes to modern nutrition. Okay, so their kids are being raised on Pepsi and they don't see that as a problem. So it's not their fault. And then I'll meet people, particularly places like this, and you're all, you know, biology students or you're nutritionists or doctors, and your level of understanding is different. So that's why I'm kind of, I wanted more of a sit down session today. and one of the main things I wanted to talk about was detoxification. Because I think detoxing is a quite an interesting, like process that we should be going through. That right now you are, your body is trying to detox anyway. But what I wanted to know is, first of all, has anyone here ever been on a commercialized detox program or cleanse program? Tried once, yeah. So only one of you. Has anyone ever thought about it? Has that thought ever come in their head? Like, should I be cleaning my body? So good. So two people, three people, maybe. Has anyone ever been on a diet, any type of diet? So more of you. Okay, that's good. So yeah, and that's generally what happens. Most people will dip in and out of diets, mainly because of this, okay? So we are able to over-consume information these days. A lot of information today, especially the kind of, if you're not delving deep into, I don't know, science or something, if you're kind of just playing around on the internet, you will come across someone talking about weight loss, weight gain, muscle gain, fitness or diet. You'll come across one of these things. Why is that? Anyone know? Why is there so much talk at the moment about these things? No idea? Because we have a problem. There's not many. You see, we have an amazing medical system at the moment, right? We have so much money behind it, so much medicine, the best surgeons, intelligence that is coming into surgery and the doctor's office. We have all this amazing robotics, yet we continually decline in our overall health. So we're at this kind of crossroads where, wait a minute, and you see this in Saudi a lot, the amount of parents that want their children to become doctors, here especially, is huge. It's up here. My child is going to be a doctor, okay? Or an engineer, yeah. Not many people want to be a PE teacher, all right? Yeah. Not many people are encouraged to even open a coffee shop, okay? And think about it. If you go back, what we generally talk about in 2017, most of the things we're using and talking about didn't exist 12 years ago. You know, the type of media that we consume today, or most of it's called social media, that wasn't really around in 2006, 2007. So the landscape's changing. Anyone got kids here? Has anyone got kids? Yeah? Are they under 10, over 10? Yes. Under 10? So look, by the time they're at university age, the jobs that they'll be going for haven't been invented yet. So we don't know really what we should be setting our kids up for, which is why the school systems are in trouble at the moment. Our school systems are set up for the 1950s at the moment, and our kids are graduating with the parents' advice to go to university. And if you're not from a wealthy background, you accumulate debt to get a degree that you're deciding on at the age of 18 when you don't know what you really want to do. And then you finish with your degree, and what more and more people are finding today is it's not that useful. And in 10 years, it definitely will have to change. My kids are not going to university if it stays like it is now, because there's no need. Right? The time they get there, I think it'll be very different. So at the moment, we've got access to all the information in the world. You guys could all become experts in the next 1 year through YouTube. You know, just by watching a YouTube channel, You could know more than 99% of Jeddah, right? But most of us are not going to do that because we get distracted by everything, okay? So my point is, there's a lot of confusion with dieting at the moment, with food. So right now, most of you have tried a diet, and a diet is not always, I'm trying to look for people that maybe have tried this, but a diet isn't always about losing weight. When a guy comes to me and he starts CrossFit and he wants to gain muscle, that's a diet. I have to change his eating style. So his eating lifestyle has to adapt, right? So anything where you're thinking about what goes in, even right now, someone might order that and offer it to a friend, and you might be like, you know what, I'm gonna have that, not now, I'm gonna have that at 4 o'clock. I'm gonna wait. You're on a diet if you're doing that. So your diet just means lifestyle. It means the way you eat, okay? The more intelligent you become through understanding nutrition, the easier it is, but you have your old school body to deal with. And that's the big issue. So that's the first thing you have to remember today is your brain is like a super active radar. It's seeking out this. So don't get angry with yourself if you fancy a bar of chocolate or you drive past and you see the new Big Mac advert. Okay, and you start being pulled towards that way. Don't get angry about it. If you're tired and stressed, it's much easier to cave in. That's just willpower, and willpower doesn't last that long. If anyone's had children, when your kids were very young babies, you were way more stressed. You were way more tired, and it's much easier for me to convince you to eat the cake, all right? Because you're in desperate need of something. So, detoxification, before we start, does anyone have any questions you want to throw out there now? Nothing? Is anyone here for a specific reason, or you're just, fancy a coffee?
I have an issue with eating
chips.
Chips?
Yeah. Okay.
I really just want to make it go down, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
Even when I'm doing any healthy diet, I just have to.
Potato chips is your thing.
Just going back and forth.
Yeah, me and you, we're the same. Yeah.
That's a lot of salt.
Yeah. So you remember, is it the advert Pringles? Once you pop, you can't stop. Right. Now that is designed that way. If you can stop, you're strong. Right? You have it. For someone like me, I find it very difficult. If you put these things in front of me, it's really hard for me to ignore them, right? Especially if I'm exercising. If I'm exercising, it can go really bad because I'm hungry all the time. So with the chips, they're designed to stimulate your brain in such a way that you will eat them, you will crave them, and you've kind of grooved this pattern into your nervous system. So now when you even smell a chip, see a chip, someone mentions the word Pringle, boom, the light goes on and all the systems get going, okay? Now, the way, this is a craving, an addiction, whatever you want to call it. Everyone usually has something like this. Some people, it's just as simple as sugar. Some people, it's rarely healthy food. It's rarely broccoli. It's not usually even things like steak. But the way we get around that is through the eating plan, which I'll talk to you about at the end, okay? So right now, your body is set up to enjoy that food and look for it. So what we have to do is try and work out a way to change internally the kind of biochemistry, the link between your digestive system and your brain, so that one, you don't seek it out so much, and two, physically and mentally, you're satisfied. You're not on a quest to pulling more food. And being satisfied, really that comes from when your nutrition is better, okay? When you're not malnourished. When you have a good diet and you have a particular type of diet that suits you as an individual, you won't be on the radar. You won't be hungry, you won't be craving, okay? I have to work on this myself. So I enjoy a very low carbohydrate diet, but I also enjoy a fairly high fat diet because it keeps my hunger, my cravings like this, very stable. I'm very mellow. I don't have crazy hunger pains. I don't get angry when I'm hungry. I used to, all right? When I had the diet which was lower fat, more medium, more of a balanced diet, government recommended diet, it was very hard for me. That doesn't mean it works on everyone. So you might have heard of things like the paleo diet, low carb, high fat diet, even a ketogenic diet, okay?
Atkins diet.
An Atkins diet, yeah, like Dr. Atkins, his diet, I mean, these diets originally, they came in for a good reason. They were, most of them, to help patients that are suffering from something. Atkins, Atkins was his first phase, his first diet was a really good idea. And again, it was to lower the amount of carbohydrate, in particularly to stop epileptic fits in children, right? When children on a higher carbohydrate diet, it affects their brains. So if you already have a kid on that spectrum where their brain is sensitive, any carbohydrate load can push them over the edge. So things like ADHD, hyperactive children, you don't have to give them much carbohydrate for them to be an absolute nightmare. I'm a teacher, I know this. Okay, I have one right now. Yesterday, he's throwing basketballs at my head. You know, he's a 10-year-old boy. And he's a hyperactive child whose parents feed him in the wrong way, you know? And unfortunately, are slowly trying to change. So, diet affects the brain. We know that, okay? We know that diet affects every disease system in the body. And particularly, we know that diet and stress come together. Stress is the root cause of all the diseases that I can't pass to you, okay? If I have the flu and I sneeze on you, I can pass you a virus, all right? But diabetes, I can't give you my diabetes. It's not gonna come to you. That is something that you will create yourself. Some people are genetically a little more gifted, all right? If you were born in a proper way, you weren't by C-section, if you came out normal and you were breastfed, and you slept at a normal times, these things really set you up for an easier life. But if you weren't, if you were like me, and you were, or even worse, like my brother, C-section, not breastfed, like in a polluted area, like this child is gonna have to work way harder, okay? That's why some people just have an easier time, but everyone can do it.
Can I just know what is the effect of the C-section?
The main effect of the C-section is that if you're not born vaginally, your gut biome, your bacteria that creates your immune system is not properly populated. It comes from the mother's, basically the goo, the poo, the wee, the bit, all the mess that comes out with the baby. The baby swallows it and that populates the baby's digestive system. And over the first 2 years of life, you build up this immune system that you set. You set it, like your immune systems now were set in that first 2 years. So if you have a really bad start in life, you've got to work harder on building up that child's immune system. Most of us probably, if we had a hard time at birth, we probably have never really got down and built that immune system. So we're always going to struggle. Some people, and that's why you can, like, I don't know if you ever see this, but kids in like poor areas, right, poor countries, they seem to be really resistant. They run around the streets with no shoes. They don't use their antibacterial cream. They never get sick because they have strong immune systems, a very strong immune system. This like hand sanitizer crap that we've introduced is killing us. It's really bad. Kids are now, sorry, if I know you might do this, but now I see all the kids, they have it attached to their bag. So what you're doing, you're just destroying all your bacteria on your skin that's designed to protect you. This stuff might be useful just before you eat food, especially at times, you know, but my son did it the other day. He brought one home from school and he's covering himself in it. He loved it. And he smells like strawberry or something. And he's just destroying himself.
To be with smell, with a nice smell. Yeah,
yeah.
That's the marketing.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, you've got to, things like this, you've got to watch out for. By the way, I teach this, like a course in all these different topics, which is much more in detail. Whenever I launch the course, I'll invite you guys, because right now we're just having kind of a little, you know, a little chat. Lots of things are gonna be fired at you. If something resonates, if I say something about gut bacteria and that's interested you, make a note and then contact me and say, I was really interested in this, okay? The problem is with health is that it's very holistic. You hear the word holistic, okay? Balanced. And this is my issue right now, is because we're all kind of separated. The fitness industry does their thing. Nutritionists do their thing. Dietitians, doctors, everyone is very like in their own world. And occasionally you'll find a few people that are connectors. Like I would call myself a connector. I'm not a PhD expert type of person in any particular area. But what I try and do is bring in all the information from all these experts and make it easy to digest. You know, my company is called SpoonFit, Health Made Simple. And that's what I'm trying to do. The stuff that really excites me, and I think, why don't people know this information? I try and get it out like this in either these talks or on video, okay? So right now, for example, my next video that's coming out, and this is really interesting. When it comes out, watch it. So vitamin D is an issue in this country. Most people in this room don't go outside 15, 20, 30 minutes a day and let the sun hit their body, right? Most people don't, most kids don't. Most people wake up and put sun, like right now, you've got sunglass or tinted glass inside, right? Most likely when you leave the house, they go on. For most people, it's the same. One, two, out the door, okay? The eyes and ears have these sensors that help regulate hormones in your body, okay? So unless the sun is touching your eyes early in the morning, your hormonal regulation will be slightly out of whack, okay? And the reason this is important, because it affects everything. It affects your metabolism, it affects the way you take fat, like an olive oil, and you turn it into a particular hormone that can either help your body grow or break your body down. So just the act of sunlight touching your eyes and even your ears can help regulate whether you gain weight or lose weight, whether you feel good or don't feel good, okay? Simple things like this. So everything is affecting you. So the first thing to get out of your head right now is, I can go to Gold's Gym and work out and I'm gonna feel good. Unfortunately not, okay? You can go to Gold's Gym and you can start to tear muscle and repair muscle and grow muscle. You can help your lungs and heart, okay? You can go to any gym for that. But unless you're doing what we call the other 23 hours, there's 24 hours in a day, you'll struggle. And that's why you probably have a friend that works out a lot, especially if it's a man or a woman, go and ask them if you can touch their lower belly, if they've got a bit of a six pack. A lot of them struggle with the lower belly, all right? That's the other 23 hours, all right? That's the poison, yeah.
Huh?
They both, they're gonna show me their belly. But yeah, because there's parts of our body that, and guys love this because we can spend like 4 to 6 weeks pumping some iron and we look good, right? We can make ourselves look good very quickly. But the poisons, the toxins, they accumulate lower down, all right? This is, in women, it can be the hips more, all right? You can, and women especially, you start working out and you're, especially this part, your hips starts to grow because you haven't engaged your butt muscles enough. Okay, this is another thing I teach. So we have to be careful when we're starting to change the way we try and get healthy. A lot of these guys that are training you might have only had 2 days of education. They get their certificate, they get hired, they're on like 3,000 reals a month. You know, just be careful what you do. And a doctor, I'm not suggesting even, doctors are sometimes worse, much worse, because they haven't had any education in nutrition. Nothing in health, disease management, okay, medicine, they're experts at that, but not healthcare. There is no healthcare in hospitals at the moment, so be careful, all right? If you have a headache, your doctor will know what pill to provide. He won't start to ask you things like, did you and your friend have an argument? You're like, yeah, I did. Did you go to bed late? Yeah, I did. Maybe that's why you've got a headache, okay? Right, so, any questions? No? I know we're going all over the place. We'll go all over the place and we'll find what's interesting. So let's try, I'll try and stick to one subject just for 5 minutes, all right? Hold on 1 second. So I hope you're enjoying this talk at Med Cafe. I just wanted to interrupt just quickly just to say, look, follow me at on Instagram at The John Dean, T-H-E-J-O-N-D-E-A-N. You can direct message me and you can follow along with some of my content and pick up on when my next workshops are. Okay, so detoxification. Huh?
You can't see me.
Oh my God. I'm like a silhouette. Do you guys, why don't you rearrange yourselves a little bit? Do you guys want to come a bit closer? You can bring the small chairs if you don't want to sit high. Can you see me now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm silhouetted, right? Come closer, guys, come closer. Bring that chair, come. Don't be scared. You're gonna sit here. You're gonna sit here. Okay. By the way, what's the best cooking course in Jeddah? Yalla cook. Wow. Okay. Yeah, if you enjoy this information and you wanna learn to cook at the same time, join my cooking course. Then you get like 90 minutes of this talk while we're cooking. It's really good. Okay, it's good, right? Amara restaurant, yeah. No, night. It's 7:30 p.m. at the moment. In January, we'll start launching morning and night. December, we've got one course running, which we're halfway through. We're not going to start another one yet. It's a bit of a weird month.
How can we know about the course when it will start?
Do you have your phone?
Yeah.
Do you have Instagram? You have Instagram?
Yeah.
Take out your phones now. Take out your phones. Go to Instagram.
I'm already following.
Good, thank you. If you type in Yalla Cook, Y-A-L-L-A-C-O-O-K, good, 11:30. Yeah, boom, okay. And you can see, and then if you, the kids will be coming, yeah. That was last night. So it's a nice setup. It's a really nice environment. You learn healthy cooking. You learn information about nutrition. You have fun. You eat nice. It's nice ingredients. Like Amara restaurant, they bring in really nice ingredients. Last night, how big were those prawns, those shrimp? They're like as big as your head, right? They were huge. I ate hers. Thank you for those. Okay. Okay, so detoxing. The reason I want to talk about detox, firstly, because I like to help people do a detox. Secondly, look, before you decide to go on any diet, the best thing to do if you want to accelerate results on a diet is do a little bit of a detoxification process at the start. Follow whatever diet your heart desires, okay? When you stop losing weight, do another detox, right? Because most people will plateau, all right? Now, detoxing is used for what? Why would we ever think about a detox?
To clean,
yes, to clean ourselves. But why is it important? Ah, nice. Why is it important to clean ourselves? Yeah, because here's one of the problems today. So, we have things like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. They're the three big ones, right? The three biggest killers. I don't think anyone can really understand how big of a problem this is right now, all right? But it's getting to the point when in this room right now, half of us will end up with cancer. You know, it's getting to that point, which shouldn't be happening. All right, heart disease, more people are dying of heart disease, cancer, diabetes today than any other time. It's the first time in human history that the population dies from overconsumption of food rather than underconsumption. We used to die because we couldn't eat enough. We couldn't get enough nutrients in. Now we overconsume calories, but we still underconsume nutrients. And that's just from our poor food quality at the moment. So it is an issue. The problem is we've heard it so much that we're bored. We're bored of, especially people like the government or hospitals, and people that are very bad at educating us on these things. Okay, type 2 diabetes is very boring when people start telling me about it. Heart disease, okay? So I don't want to try and talk about these diseases, but we are starting to explore more and more that the root cause of these problems comes from overstressing the human body, right? We overstress the human body and we start to build up what's called inflammation. So inflammation is as simple as if I start to slap you, just lightly, just for the next 10 minutes, at first it doesn't hurt, okay? And gradually over time, I start to get a red mark. It starts to get worse. Eventually you get a bruise and you get this inflammation building up. If I just give you all one big slap now, all right, then you go home and sleep and come back, you're fine, you recover from your slap. Your human body is designed to deal with like quick stress, especially during the day. You're fine. The problem is, these days, we're having a constant slap all day, every day, all night, every night. And we get this inflammation building up in our body, which causes, I mean, the best way to describe it is accelerated aging. So we get old fast. So now a 30-year-old who is an obese, type 2 diabetic, starts to physically, when we explore their body, look more like a 60-year-old. You know, in the past, it was heart disease came to the 18 and 90-year-olds. Type 2 diabetes was just for like older people. It wasn't seen in younger people. So we know these problems exist. We know that medicine hasn't worked yet. We don't know if it will, but it hasn't worked yet. And we know particularly in things like cancer, because cancers can be aggressive, which is why there's more concern. That's why there's Breast Cancer Awareness Day is almost trendy now. It's almost become trendy. Influencers love it. They all get behind it.
Cancer is hitting everyone. If he's healthy or not healthy, if he do sports, if he doesn't, and cancer is,
what's happening is, remember, you're seeing too much of the world right now. We're only really designed to see our community. But right, I don't really watch the news ever. People tell me about what Trump does and Korea and I have no concern with other countries. But because we're over-consuming like other people's business, we see the football player that gets cancer. But he trains every day in football. Yeah, but he also does cocaine, has like four affairs every day, his kids hate him. Do you know what I mean? We don't see the other side of the story. So, and this, veganism's the same. Like we always get the, like someone who's very powerful in something. For example, a vegan athlete. So you will always get the argument, well, we can do like bodybuilding and be a vegan because this guy is a bodybuilder vegan, right? But we don't really know. Maybe this guy is spending 10 hours a day like on his diet like a scientist, so he's got it absolutely perfect. Maybe he's got the best genes in the world. Maybe his ancestors were from a country that was very high plant-based diet. So his body does really well. I guarantee there's no one from Alaska that's a vegan. There's no one in Sweden or Norway being a vegan. All right, their health will decline very fast because they're just not adapted to it, okay? So you're consuming information and it's edited for you, which is why you have to go back to big either population studies, all right, which aren't even that great. So we gotta look at stuff. Now, what we do know is when we look at people that die, for example, from heart disease, we know that like half of them are overweight, half of them are not. Half of them have high cholesterol, half of them don't. So when we're talking about what most people suggest is the problem, cholesterol, it's not an issue. But we're still talking about this because the media is. So what you guys have to start to do is listen less to the media and listen more to some of the nerds, some of the scientists, the researchers. And it's more hard to listen to them because a lot of them are boring, which is why I'm trying to make it a bit more interesting. So I do that. I listen to 10 different experts who have done 10 different studies, independently researched, okay, funded, not funded by Pepsi or the dairy industry, independent studies, and they're all finding the same thing. Everyone that had cancer had some sort of high inflammation. Everyone got their inflammation from different things, okay? So, detoxing the body is a way that we can start to reduce that inflammation, that load, that pressure, that stress, which is why it's important. Now, the issue I have in Jeddah is detoxing or cleansing can be trendy in London, in New York. It's the same, right? Juice bars are usually the people that promote the most. But how does detoxing really work in the body? So what are we so worried about? Is there chemicals in the sky right now, in the air? Is there poisonous chemicals that are not good for us in Jeddah? Yes or no? Yeah, definitely, right? Last year, globally, we know about 10 million chemicals were pumped out into the air in the world, right? We know there's about 100,000 studied toxins that can disrupt the body, okay? In particular, the endocrine system. The endocrine system you have glands in your body that produce, they secrete hormones. You've all heard of thyroid, testosterone. You've all heard of these hormones. These hormones are used to regulate how you look and feel. They keep you balanced, that's their job. So when your hormones get messed about, you get messed about and you don't feel good. You can also then, you're more likely to develop things like tumors, cancerous tumors. Your immune system can be dropped. So, bad toxins accumulating in the body disrupt your, especially your hormonal systems, which disrupt the way you look, feel and act, okay? That's simple enough, right? So there's a good reason why we should care. Because the way you look, you care about. Yes or no?
Yes.
The way you feel, yes or no? And the way you perform, yes or no? Whether it's with your kids, at work, whatever. Okay? The way you perform. So also healing. Healthy people, healing is quicker. Unhealthy people, healing is slower. Right? Now, the problem with detoxing is how do most people start a detox? Has anyone ever done one? Who said they tried a detox? What did you do? Sorry.
I tried the detox many times, regular basis, because I have breath issues since I was kid.
Right.
Since I tried detox since 5 years, detox and fasting.
Detox and fasting, okay. Perfect.
My breathing is enhancing a lot. I can hold my breath for 3 minutes when I go diving or something.
Nice. Okay. Okay. So it's from cleaning up your system, many, many different things are improved.
Right.
Now, so when you detox, so detoxing, most people today, if I told you to go and detox, will probably call Cleanse and Glow or one of the better juice companies and get one of their detox kits, right? This can help-ish. This can help, but this is not detoxing. Okay, so what is detoxing? So we need to understand it a bit better. So if you imagine, who wants to be my volunteer? Let's see.
I feel like you're
looking. Yeah, no, right. So if you just stand there for me, imagine this is my problem, this is my poison, this is my toxin. This compound is gonna enter my body. So it starts to enter my body, right? All right? And at the moment, as it enters my body, she could do some damage. She could start breaking up this room. This is my body, this room, right? She could start damaging things, okay? And what happens when something comes into the body, when it becomes a problem, first of all, it starts to steal from other cells. So imagine I slap her in the head because she's stolen something from my body, some chemical that she needs. And once she takes that chemical, she starts to become a bit erratic. Okay, so as it comes into my body, this chemical actually gets worse. and it starts to get angry. Now she's angry because she's had a slap in the head. She's very angry, right? How do I get her out my body? How do I get her out? So this compound is in my body. She's starting to disrupt my metabolism, my hormone systems. But what do I have to do to her?
Remove my energy.
Yeah, I do. I have to change her energy. Because at the moment, the way I want to detox, right, is through sweating or going to the toilet, right? I want to get the stuff out that way. That's the way I detox my body, okay? But I cannot sweat her out in this form. She's going crazy, she's mental, she's too tough, all right? So she's fat soluble. I need to make her water soluble so I can sweat her out. Because I really don't want to have to work her through my liver or my kidneys. Because I don't know if any of you have ever gone into Ramadan really out of shape. Your kidneys are on fire because your body is now trying to get out the poison that way through your kidneys. I've had it. I've fallen on the floor from it. So.
Sorry, I'm like.
So right now, she's crazy. She's breaking things. She's disrupting my body. I have to get her water soluble. So what I do, I have things like enzymes, nutrients, compounds in my body that I will give to her that now chills her out. It changes her composition. And now she becomes very chilled, very med. And now I can sweat her out. So the most important thing, one is the nutrients that we need in our body to achieve this. But more importantly than that is the actual sweating to get her out my body. Now when I sweat, she's gone. Now she can leave the room. Get out. Okay? Now she's gone. All right, thank you. So that's really important because you in 2017, we don't want to have to overload our liver and our kidney because when it gets overloaded, it can go wrong. And when your kidneys and liver go wrong, it's a real big problem, as in you can die from this, right? Complications are not good. So we want to reduce the amount of stress on our liver and kidney. Now, if people go into a detox or a fast and they don't sweat, then you're probably putting massive pressure on your liver and your kidneys, okay? It's not a good idea. So what we need to be able to do is, first of all, anyone that's fasting, if you think about it, fasting has been around a long time, agree? Even if you go back, even like pre-Islamic times, cultures fasted. And if you go back 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years, I guarantee the air was cleaner than it is today in Jeddah. I guarantee the food was organic, right? So think about it. The actual load, the stress on the human body 1,000 years ago was a lot less than it is today, a lot less. And they put a massive importance on fasting. Huge importance on fasting to heal the body on a body that wasn't that broken compared to what we are today, all right? Testosterone levels in men in the 1900s was 4 times greater than it is today. 4 times greater. Imagine 1,000 years ago. Like, people were solid. Like, people were very strong. So fasting today is super important, but I think in Jeddah, the majority of Jeddah should not be going into a fast, should not be entering Ramadan the way they do, okay? Here's what we know for some studies. If I take someone who's overweight, right? I take someone overweight and I put them on a fast, what will happen is their body, because poisons, remember, a lot of poisons are fat soluble, they're stored inside fat, okay? As they start to get released, those poisons are released into your bloodstream. Now they have access to everywhere in your body, your brain, your heart, additional like small tumors, of cancerous tumors. So they start to attack the body and weaken you. So we know that anyone, the more overweight you are, the more you accumulate in your blood, okay? So the amount of damaging poisonous load shoots up. In Ramadan, how many people then spend a good amount of time during the day sweating to try and get that out when they fast? And it's getting more popular to walk just before you break your fast. But how many people also are eating the right nutrients, which so they have the right nutrients to encourage that breakdown from the evil monster into the water-soluble one, all right? Not many, okay? I've been here long enough to see how people eat during Ramadan. It's not, I would say, has anyone been to England at Christmas time? Yeah? So Christmas Day, Christmas Eve sometimes, but Christmas Day, there's a feast. Boxing Day, the next day, there's a feast. Then we kind of get away from it. Ramadan, you have basically 30 kind of Christmas-sized dinners, 30 days, and then you have Eid, which is even more crazy, right? So what the studies are telling us is when we reduce calories, particularly by fasting or on a low-calorie diet, we explode the poisons into our blood, all right? So at that point, if we're not prepared or we're not sweating, those poisons are causing damage, particularly to the endocrine system, and they can encourage cancerous growth in the body. So fasting could be really hurting you at first, all right?
What about water fasting?
The same. So if you're low calorie, like water doesn't use a digestive system, it's no calories. Water is just hydrating you, right? Which is good for you, but you're still gonna accumulate those poisons. When you fast, when you go low calorie, you're encouraging your body to detox, okay? Depending how set up you are with your food, depends how efficient you are at that. But everyone will release these compounds that are poisonous into the bloodstream. We don't want them going to our brain, and they will if we don't detox. Now we know when we study rats, if we overfeed the rats at the end of a fast, the rats accumulate those poisons somewhere else in the body. So you release poison, you reaccumulate poison, you release poison. And I know we're not rats, but Ramadan is a bit like that. It's very low calorie, zero calorie through the day, and then high calorie at night. Low calorie, high calorie, low calorie. So we know during Ramadan, a lot of people, and the more out of shape you are, the more likely you are to get hurt from fasting, okay? So, everyone understand that? So what does that mean? Well, it means fasting is very, very efficient at detoxing your body, but you need a particular diet to make sure you have the nutrient quality to help with that fast, to turn the beast into the pleasant hire, okay? To make her nice so she can get out. So we need good nutrients, we need to be ready. You need to sweat. So anyone that starts a detoxification process or a cleanse, you need to be sweating, okay? And I mean sauna type sweat. The sweat needs to be pouring off you. Summertime, that's easy. You can just walk outside, all right? Wintertime, it's a little bit harder. This is why like high intensity training can be really useful. So going to like a gym for a short period of time, 20 minutes of sweating is really useful for your body. You've got to shower afterwards because sweat can go back into the pores. You can put the poisons back into your bloodstream. Make sense? Right, good. Let me just grab that. Okay. So that's the basics of a detoxification process, all right? So it's kind of simple, but it requires certain things. I'm not going to go through the actual diet plan you would need to get there because I've already written it down for you, which I can send to you, okay? So you can start to have a read. The course I teach, part of this course, is to feed people the food that you need, all right? Now, for the first 6, 7, 8, 10 days of a detox, there's a particular way to eat, which is high in things like broccoli. Broccoli has some of the nutrients you need to break that beast down into water soluble. Broccoli, what did we cook last night? Onion, garlic, okay? These types of foods, you need them, okay? Aloe vera, this is why I talk about aloe vera so much. Aloe vera is amazing at helping you break fat soluble into water soluble, okay? So there's particular nutrients we want to shoot in our system for only about 4 to 6 days. Then what we would then flow into is something called a fasting mimicking diet, okay? A fake fast. And what that is just restricted eating. So how many hours in a day? Someone said 24, right? How many hours do we sleep? seven, eight, nine, yeah, around that time. Well, some of us. So if we can sleep for 8 hours, that I feel good on eight, some people on six, some people on 10. So how many hours are left if I sleep 8 hours? So I've got 16 hours left in the day. What do most people do with those 16 hours? They spread their eating out, right? They spread their eating out. So when I'm asleep, I'm technically fasting. When I'm fasting and I'm sleeping, I am doing what to my body? Cleansing and repairing, yeah. The system I'm in is a rest, digest, a repair, an anti-aging process. For 8 hours, you are slowing down the aging process, okay? When you wake up, you're a little bit, you kind of slow down the aging, right? Which is what you want to achieve. Then, as the sun rises, now my body starts to change into this fight or flight mode, this stress, this kind of breakdown mode. And this is good for the body, cycles. But what we generally do, we start to eat when we wake up, correct? We have our breakfast, break the fast. That stops my fast. And some of us want to lose weight. And the best way to lose weight is by fasting, okay? So what I can do is extend my fast by missing some of the hours in the morning, not eating. Shortening the window of eating. And studies show us that the ideal time for men to eat is about an 8 hour window. For women, around a 10 hour window. So if I eat my first food at midday, me and you, we want to eat our last meal before 8 p.m. So I've had 8 hours when I'm eating. That gives me 16 hours of basically burning body fat. Now, obviously that depends as well on what I'm eating. If I keep my carbohydrate load low and I gradually increase my fats, keep my protein medium, all right, what I will do is I'll have good energy, I won't have much sugar, so my body will start to be encouraged to burn my own stores, my own fat storage. I'm storing this fat for energy later. That's the only reason any of you have got some body fat right now. You're storing it for energy, or you're keeping it there because it's full of poisons and you don't want to release it yet, okay? So I go low calorie for 8 to 10 hours. My body is encouraged to burn its own body fat. Now when I go into my fasted state, I'm now burning my own body fat for energy, okay? If I wake up and I have a bowl of cornflakes, I destroy it. I fill my body with sugars, glucose, fructose, okay? Half of that sugar from cornflakes will then go into my liver, overload my liver, I don't want to do that, and it will be directly stored as fat, okay? Fructose, which when we put, so we say this has a spoon of sugar in it, half of that sugar is glucose. You have quite a good process to metabolize glucose, but if you don't use that energy, you will store it as fat, all right? Anyone doing CrossFit or something like that, you'll burn it, you'll use that glucose, some of you. Fructose is a little bit different. It kind of gets processed like alcohol in the body. So it shoots to the liver, it gets either utilized or stored as body fat. This is why kids are getting the beer belly. In England, it's called a beer belly because people drink beer. Here, they're starting to call it the soda belly. It looks the same because it is the same, right? It's as destructive. So you're fasting, ideally, if you want to start to drop weight quickly, should be around 14 to 16 hours of the day, so your eating window starts to shrink, all right? At first, go for a 14-hour eating window, then a 13, then and bring it down. And for women, get it to around 10 hours and see how you feel. Now, there is a cheat to this. Once you become fat adapted, so you need to go through maybe a week of harshness, which is when you wake up, just don't eat until lunch. It's a bit tough, okay? You need to go through maybe 4 days, 5 days of that. Yeah, you can drink water, yeah. Water won't affect you in any way, all right? And not coffee yet. Not coffee at first. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah. No, but maybe you're already adapted. This is, if I took someone that's, let's say for example, I'm not saying you are, but let's say she has always woken up and eaten 2 pieces of bread, with some jam, and then a bowl of cornflakes, and then lunch she has, I don't know, chicken and rice, and for dinner she has potatoes, and some chocolate cake, okay? Her body now is primarily gonna use, it searches for glucose, for energy. It likes the sugar burn. It's a good energy source for her, but it's also very easy for you to store extra weight. So this is someone that maybe is up and down with their mood, up and down with their weight, having trouble losing weight, okay? Feels hungry. If I take you and stop you right now and say, right, now I want you to go very low carb, it's gonna be tough, okay? But what I've gotta do is convince her body to start to want to utilize fat as energy. To do that, the way to do that is to stop the amount of glucose going in. So the best way to do it is rip off the Band-Aid, as in have 3 or 4 days when you wake up and you don't eat until lunch. It's gonna be a little bit tough, but just think about Ramadan. Think about Ramadan. You would be going all the way till 6, 7 p.m., okay? Those first few hours are not that difficult. So at 12 o'clock, boom, you eat. And you eat low carbohydrate. You're still eating some fruit, you still got some sugars coming in, but over the next 6, 7 days, your sugar levels are dropping and your healthy fats are going up. Coconut oil, butter, ghee, olive oil, avocado oil, okay? Fish, things like this, steak. These fats are going up gradually as the sugars are coming down, all right? And then within about 2 weeks to 3 weeks, you're now fat adapted. Fat adapted, which means right now, for me, what's the time? Nearly 12. I've got my hunger isn't here yet, okay, because I'm fat adapted. Around 1 o'clock, I'd start to feel it. So by 2 o'clock, I have my lunch, my first meal. When you're fat adapted, you can cheat. Now, I can cheat, you can cheat. What we can do is wake up in the morning, I can make a coffee, and I can fill it with fat, okay? And this is where the butter coffee comes in, all right? So I can add some coconut oil, some fats, I add some collagen, and I blend it up. It kind of looks a bit like this drink, that color, and it tastes a bit creamy latte type, tastes good. Because I'm fat adapted and there's no sugar in that drink, I will continue to be almost in a fasted state. So I will continue to burn body fat, okay? I'll use some fat that I've brought in as energy, but I'll quickly get back to fat burning. It's very different if I eat that, what's that thing called? What is that? Pretzel. If I ate the pretzel, it's complete, I disrupt it, and now I have to utilize that. If I'm fat adapted, I'm not gonna be that good at utilizing my sugars anymore. So I'm a little bit crappy at utilizing sugar, which means when I do hit the sugar, now I'm more likely to have problems than some of you that are good with sugar, okay? So that's how you become fat adapted, all right? It's a process. It's something I take people through. It generally takes around 10 days to do the phase one, the detoxification. Then you're moving into this eating window where you're minimizing the eating window. I would stay there for about 2 weeks. And then I would start to bring in either a butter coffee type breakfast, maybe for another couple of weeks, and then start introduce your low carbohydrate breakfast. And then you can get back within 30, 40, 50 days, you've got a nice diet, which is what we teach on the course, which is a diet you can have for life, you can enjoy, and you'll continually burn body fat. Then every so often, you need to throw in a detox because you will be accumulating poisons just by breathing, you know, just by going to work and stressing. So every so often, you throw in another 10 day, you go through a 10 day process, you release that body fat, you release more poison, and you get it out your system, okay? Especially if you start to plateau with weight loss, you do another detox. So that's kind of summarizing the process. Did it make sense? Was it complicated? You are better having someone hold your hand the first time you do it, okay? When I launch them, it's easier to do it with me, just to follow along, much easier, okay? Questions? the energy for the gym. So first of all, it depends on what you're doing in the gym. So
weightlifting and cardio.
Okay, so ideally you split it. Cardiovascular work, so steady state, you know, low intensity exercise. This doesn't require sugar. It doesn't require, you're not gonna go into the system where you're craving, you're trying to pull glucose for energy. Okay? So you're fine with that. So cycling your bike, running on a treadmill, things like that, you don't need food. You just need water. You'll burn more body fat, keep it to 30 minutes, 40 minutes max, and go. Now, if you're doing something more high intensity, like boot camps, high intensity training, CrossFit, this is where you might face some issues. If you can keep the session lower, what you might want to do on those days is go into it, spend 2 or 3 weeks without exercising while you get used to this diet, okay? You will lose way more weight, sounded weird, if you do not exercise. You will lose more weight if you don't go to the gym, guaranteed, in that first phase. When I want to drop quick weight, I stop the gym, okay? You don't have to stop walking, running, cycling, but stop heavy training, right? Or you have to train your intense sessions into like to suit your eating window. So your eating window on a day when you're heavy training might change. So you might start your eating window the second you finish your training. So at 9 a.m., now you start eating, but you're gonna finish earlier, okay? Or you might wanna eat before you train and finish earlier. But if you're fat adapted, it's gonna feel easier. Then you can start to play around. You can go into what we call like a wave diet. So some of the days, if it's super high intense, if you're training for the CrossFit Games, that you probably need that quick release glucose. You need some energy. So you might have to eat before a session. You might have to have a shake, all right? But you've got to experiment. You'll be surprised what you can do on an empty stomach, okay? And then when you get onto this, like drinking a butter coffee, you'll be surprised how far that can take you through a training session. Yeah. But you've got to get to that point when you're not hurting yourself from drinking fat, basically, you know, which can take a couple of weeks. So you would probably focus, right, for the next 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Cardio.
You have to go.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Time.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
What school is it?
My kids, they're in Turbia.
Nice. Okay, I do kids sessions as well, so.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Keep an eye out.
My biggest, she's 12.
Okay.
Yeah, so I want to exactly.
Yeah. Come to our gymnastics classes as well.
Yeah, I was just gonna.
They're really good. My gymnastics. Just if you go on to the, there's a number on Yala Cook or my Instagram, the John Dean. Yeah, direct message me on there.
Okay, no, I'll just take 2 minutes. Have you heard about a company called Roots?
Yeah.
For salad?
Yeah.
You know them?
Yeah.
Because we have monthly membership if you would like to register or something.
I cool.
Could help. You could just call me and I will SMS with you all the menus.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
We just told them we just deliver salads.
Could you do can you do a special jar for us? A detox salad.
A detox, we're still not providing detox, but we are just providing salads.
You should put one with my name on it.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give you this stuff.
Call me anytime.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, any more questions?
Yes.
Am I losing only fat or something else?
Huh?
Am I losing only fat or muscles or...
So... Yeah, and interesting. So if you get the nutrients right, your muscle won't drop too much. So for example, when you fast, you have, there's certain amino acids which are used to build muscle, right? Everyone kind of gets that, especially guys, because you supplement with it. When you fast, your body naturally produces more of these branched chain amino acids. So it pushes them up. And that's to help support muscle on your body. But if you're someone that's, like if you want a lot of muscle that is kind of unnatural for your, you know, your regular frame, so you wanna produce more muscle, you might have to supplement a little bit more with amino acids. One of the best ways is to use collagen. So if you, collagen, which is the boiling of animal bones. you produce the two particular amino acids, which are really powerful, especially when you're on a low-calorie diet or fasting. You know, so these amino acids will help keep the muscle on your body, keep your joints strong. So you might at first drop a little bit, but once you get fat adapted and you get back into your regular training, everyone I've seen that has done this, especially if their training isn't super high intense, once they get it right, the muscle will continue to grow or maintain, whatever you're trying to achieve. People that are training and doing very high intensity, where you're maybe doing like, you know, your workout of the day is going sort of 5, 10, 15 minutes high intense, you have to adjust your diet for those sessions for some people. Some people can do really well on a low carb diet. But a lot of times we want to add a bit more carbohydrate if our lifestyle needs it. You know, it doesn't hurt you. You just have to get the recovery better. But these are all things, they take a little while to understand. They take some sessions. This year I'm doing sessions on this. Anyone, like if you're training yoga, it's so easy. Like yogis can, they can keep very strong and very healthy by doing yoga and fasting and eating low carbohydrate, high plant-based. You know, it's really easy for people like that. This is why most, if you go to India where people are like, I don't eat any animal products, I just eat this. Yeah, because you don't need to maintain much animal on you. You know, it's easy to sit on top of a rock and meditate all day. You don't require that much. So I can eat just plants all day and I survive really well. But if I'm the next, like Jeddah's next CrossFit athlete and I want to compete on the world stage, it's not going to work. You know, you're going to find it really difficult. Not for everyone, you know, there are some people that can do it, but not for everyone. So yeah, any questions? So I hope you enjoyed that talk. We'll have many come in. Keep an eye out on my Instagram. It's at the John Dean, THEJONDEAN. Keep updated with my Instagram stories. And also you can check out my YouTube channel for my vlog. Sometimes got some information that you might find useful. So thanks again for listening and see you all soon.